I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though this body be destroyed, yet shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine eyes. You heard that wonderful story, Jesus feeding the 5,000 is one miracle or sign that all four gospel writers remember. And it's remember in the sense of putting that old Sunday school story back together. Each evangelist assembles it somewhat differently. And there's a result, like Johnny Cash sneaking out parts from the factory and building himself a Cadillac one piece at a time. The synoptics, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, are most alike. They see the Savior's chesed, his loving kindness, as a powerful act of compassion, responding to tired and hungry people in a deserted place far from home. That's the synoptics. The gospel, according to John, remembers differently. To witnesses in John's multitude, in the crowd around Jesus in John's story, it's Jesus' sign that he is the one prophesied by Moses who also led them and fed them in the wilderness. And it's happened again today. Regardless which gospel story we hear, it's the same event. It's remembered differently from writer to writer to writer. But tradition actually identifies a spot high up on the mountainside looking out across the Galilean Sea where this took place. And it's so beautiful in the imagination that you can long to have been there that day with the Lord Jesus. Gospel John remembers the day as God the Son lovingly sharing the abundance of his creation, God from God, light from light, true God from true God. There's nothing miraculous or incredible about this story. We are being fed that day, and again, by the Word through whom all things were made. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over churning chaos, and God said, and it was so. And all that God said, it was so. The creating Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through the Word, flesh, and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ, Logos, the creating Word, nothing astounds us that comes out of the power and mouth of God the Word. And just so today, a beautiful story and that pastoral scene that we can visualize of God loving his people. In baptism last Sunday morning, we renewed our baptismal covenant, and we're going to do that same thing. We'll be renewing again this morning with the baptism of Sawyer Scott Kramer, a tiny boy who's sitting in his daddy's lap. The celebrant will say, "Let us join with those who are committing themselves to Christ and renew our own baptismal covenant." And you will stand and you will say it yet one more time. Again, we almost know it by heart. We've said it so often. And there's a problem with that. Do you have any idea what you are saying, what you are doing? Do you have any idea? It's not just words. This is between you personally and God personally. Or do you even believe God exists other than as an idea in pictures and Sunday school stories? Because what you believe is not found in what you say. What you believe is exposed to the world like a naked flasher in a football stadium in how you live. In C.S. Lewis' story, The Great Divorce, there's a character whom Lewis calls the Ghost in Gaiters, and the Ghost in Gaiters, an item of clothing that English bishops wore. The Ghost in Gaiters is a bishop who's died and gone to hell, but he doesn't know that. But with others in the story, the bishop gets in the queue at the bus stop and rides the overnight bus up to heaven to see what it's all about. And upon arrival in heaven at dawn the next morning, there's a spirit who comes out and welcomes him and tells him that if he decides to stay in heaven, he will actually meet God face to face. Scoffing. The bishop describes God as a beautiful idea, but he scorns the naive thought that God is real. A self-important, pompous little vapor. He says he will only agree to stay in heaven if he is needed, if he can be useful. And the Spirit talking to him says, surely you know there are no needs here. All needs are met. None of us are needed. We are here because of the love of God. And so, sure enough, before his day in heaven is over, the ghost in gaiters, this bishop, gets back on the bus for the return trip to hell, where he is needed, because he heads up an evening discussion group of intellectual sophisticates who write dissertations about God and read their papers aloud and critique each other. Are you a believer? Are you a believer or a scoffer, one who just stands and says the creed, the vow, the covenant? If you do not take this morning's promises out of here as the foundation of your life this week, then perhaps you are just one who stands and says. Because if you truly believe that God is real, then you cannot possibly lie to God. There are lots of ways that I could go from this point in a homily. But I'm thinking personally, surely about me, maybe about you, perhaps about you. I'm going to say to you this. 2015, people, an American election campaign is boiling over all over the land, all across America. The mean, scathing, name-calling, and bitter vitriol of our election campaigns are not the proclamation of Jesus Christ that you promise in your personal covenant with God. By that covenant and the water of baptism, you step personally into the way of the cross. You promise to live your life in a certain way because that's the way Jesus lived his life. But you see, this week, there will be words of contempt and words of hatred spoken aloud, spread in rumors, posted on the internet, typed on Facebook, words filled with malice. If this morning you covenant with God from your heart, then you cannot participate in that evil. You cannot participate unless you believe that God is just a beautiful idea. Now, we're going to do the baptismal covenant in a few minutes, and there are three, I believe, questions in the creed. Do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in God the Son? Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit? But the covenant, the baptismal covenant, is not about what you believe. In fact, never mind what you believe. As St. James wrote in Holy Scripture, even the devil believes and shudders. The covenant is not about what you believe. The covenant is your five promises to live your life in a certain way because of Jesus Christ. And have you ever noticed, all the times that we've been through this covenant, have you ever noticed that the promises grow harder and more demanding and more personal as the covenant progresses and as you make your promises? This was pointed out to us in last Sunday's sermon right from this pulpit. My question is, were you listening? Did you take the point? And most important, how did you live this past week? Did you keep your promise to God? You get another chance today, right now. Listen, will you continue in the apostles' teaching and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in the prayers? Easy one, I will with God's help. Will you persevere in resisting evil and whenever you fall into sin, repent and return to the Lord? Oh, sure, I will with God's help. And besides, the priest always pronounces absolution. Anyway, my sins are clean when I'm done. Will you proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Jesus Christ? Okay, sure, I'm not positive what that means, but I will with God's help. And I say to you, oh, no, you don't. It's quite clear what that means. It means that you commit to become, to be Jesus Christ, to be Jesus Christ in all that you say and do. Do you mean to keep the promise? If you do, watch your mouth and your attitudes. Question 4. Will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? I guess so. I will with God's help. Well, God helps you, among other ways, with his word in Holy Scripture. 1 John 4:20, whoever says, I love God, but hates another person is a liar. Hate, like love, is not a feeling. It's how you treat other people, including malice from your heart and from your mouth and on the internet. Will you strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being? Can I get back to you on that? And the answer is no, that you may not. No, you may not. This is the moment of truth. God loves you, and you can only love God by respecting the dignity of every human being, every person of every race, every religion, every sexual preference, every political party, left, right, or center, every social origin. Will you? Think about it before you make those promises today. This is personal, between you and God is not just a beautiful idea.